Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wunstead here in studio. And we're talking about the Bears, and they are in London on Sunday morning in Chicago, 8:30. Obviously, it's normal time in London, 6 hours later than that. But Dave, I'm curious. So I had the pleasure of covering you when you were here in Chicago, and I recall many different times when you might have a Monday night game, or you would have I don't remember if there were Thursday night games at that point, but definitely Monday nights. You would always be conscious and aware of who did well on Monday nights, what their formula was, how they prepared because of the different time period. Mm-hmm. A short week, you always did research on it, and you always kind of adapted things. How would you handle a trip to London? And the Bears have gone in now on a Monday night, and they arrived this morning. And they play on Sunday. The Jaguars, they have two games in London, so they're leaving on Thursday. They will get there on Friday. Now, that might change depending on the storm situation, as we talked about in Florida. But the plan now is for them to get there, to leave Thursday night, significantly later in the week than the Bears have left. But they'll be there for another week, so I suppose they would take that into account, because they've got two games in London. I'm just wondering, what's the best way to do an international trip? You went to Ireland, as I recall, back in the day.
We did, and I've gone to Tokyo with the Cowboys. Right. So I've had, but they were preseason games, so it's completely different as far as your approach. I can tell you this, the Thursday night thing, to answer your question, going back to the University of Pittsburgh days, we used to play West Virginia every Thursday, and then at the Cowboys we played Thanksgiving every week. So we had a very good schedule in what we wanted to do to win on a Thursday night following a Sunday game. Now, as far as this, all I can relate to, I've always put value on, when I was the Dolphins, we would play the Seattle Seahawks. We'd play the Oakland Raiders. I mean, that's 6-7 hours. That's about as far as you can fly in this country from Miami to Seattle. We know that. And we would leave Saturday morning. And I always put value on preparation. And by that, I mean I wanted to give our players, in my mind, and maybe it's different over there in London. I mean, Flus probably went through all this, with all the people. But I never wanted to leave anything for chance as far as meeting rooms. So we're going to meet in a hotel? Is that what you're telling me? And all of a sudden, the audiovisual guy just doesn't work. And, I don't know. Crazy things can happen and upset, a distraction for a meeting. How about injuries? Guys, everybody's banged up. We got $1 million worth of medical equipment in our training room. So we're going to go over there and take a hot pack with us and a bag of ice for four days. That used to make me nervous. And just the field conditions. I'm sure they got nice fields. But here, we control it. Rains, we go inside. Cold, we can control the conditions, the temperature. So,
interesting.
I always was a big pet peeve on preparation lean. And I told our players, I said, guys, we're going to go out there. We're going to land. You're going to get up. And it's going to be 4 o'clock in the morning when you're waking up. Okay, let's go. Let's get a cup of coffee and let's go play this damn game and win it. And we never had a problem. I just put more emphasis on the preparation stuff. Now, I will say this about Flus. He knows what he's doing, and there's been games over there. So they probably have all this stuff covered a lot better than just going.
You're kind of slaves to protocol. You want to do the things the way you've always done them week to week to keep it standardized. How big of a loss do you think it is if Jaquan Brisker doesn't play? And how concerned should the Bears be about a player who is entering concussion protocol for the third straight season?
Yeah, it's that would be a little bit of a concern, not just to the Bears, but to the individual. But the big thing is with the NFL and with any sport. My grandson's going through it now. Three concussions in one calendar year, that raises a major red flag. And that's what Tua's dealing with a little bit right now at Miami.
Yes.
So it's not what happened in this game, But when they look at his history, how often has it happened? Because when you get one, it's a lot easier to get the second one and the third one. That's proven. So is it a loss to the team? Sure it is. I think what he brings, besides his playing ability, if you ask me right now, who are the three big emotional leaders on this defense, he's definitely one of them. You know, I mean, he just because he plays aggressive and he's tough and he's right on the edge. I would call him a edge player as far as how aggressive he is. So
his passer rating against, believe it or not, is also among the highest.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's been really good in that area.
Who's going to take his place, guys? Did they announce?
Jonathan Owens would be the likely candidate, but it may have moved things around.
Yeah, they have who's the other kid that plays? They got another guy.
Elijah Hicks?
Okay. Yeah, Elijah Hicks.
Yeah, Hicks could be that. Depending on what they do with Kevin Byard, maybe it'd be situational.
Yeah.
Right. But they do have some options that they trust and guys with experience.
Okay. Yeah, so and you know what they miss him most, in my mind, is the run game. Right, because the minute that someone makes a couple first downs and they're running the ball, what does Fluce do? Here comes either three deep, David, with Brisker in the box as a run defender, or if they're going to bring your pressure, he's one of the first guys. If I'm a quarterback, I got to know where Brisker is.
Big sack the other day.
Big sack the other day. Huge sack.
The segment that Dave wants is sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all-weather protection for your business. Dave, what did you like about the way Shane Waldron called Sunday's game?
You know what? I just really we're all looking at the whole game stats, which you have to. But I focused in on that first half because it was over at halftime. I mean, Carolina, you know, they had had enough. They were ready to get on the plane and go back home. But when I look at the first half of this football game, I saw third down. I saw our defense hold them. They didn't convert a third down, so we started fast there. And on offense, we were number one. We were averaged 4 yards a run, okay? We didn't average that at the end of the game, but we did average that at halftime, which was big improvement from what we were doing, 3 yards or whatever. We had four pass plays over 15 yards, so we legitimately threw the ball down the field some. Yep. You know, we averaged 9.9 yards a reception for the game, which was as excellent. He had plays that were well-designed plays. I mean, the crossing route for a touchdown, you know, it was a pick play. I mean, it was a pick play 15 yards down the road that Keenan Allen did a fabulous job of running his corner into DJ's corner, and it was a great job. And on that same play, Cole Kmet stayed in and blocked the blitzing linebacker, and so did Swift. So, great job. And then the touchdown, I love the touchdown to DJ Moore. If you go back and look at that, I talked about this on NBC on my show afterwards. They lined up into the boundary, into the short side of the field, okay? Generally, you want to put all your receivers and stuff and run to the wide side, right? Okay. They put everybody into the short side of the field, three receivers, and then they took DJ Moore and they put him to the wide side of the field, and they put him about 2 or 3 yards outside the numbers. So he was kind of between the sideline and the numbers. He was about as far away as you can get without being on the out of bounds. And Caleb drops back, and what does he do? He's looking to where all the receivers are. That's natural. What does their free safety do?
He goes over there.
So now Caleb's got what he wants. Yeah. And it's now he's
a one-on-one match.
Thank you.
DJ Moore is inside bracketing the guy.
A lot of room, and Caleb makes a great throw.
Great throw.
You know, so well-designed plays. Shane Waldron gets credit for that, and give Caleb. I mean, no interceptions, no turnovers by our quarterback.
Nearly an interception on the first
nearly
pass in the game.
Darn wind,
coach. That's like one of my assistants, Molly. What you just did was like one of my assistants coming up and saying, "Coach, they're holding us." And I say, "I don't see any flags on the ground." Don't tell me they're holding us, Molly. Okay?
So the ball was not picked. Shut your pile. Yeah.
I also think, Dave, when you look at, they called 30 pass plays. And the week before they called more runs than passes, I believe, or at least it was more balanced. Somebody must have gotten to Shane Waldron after the Colts debacle. 52 passes because the last 2 weeks have been more of a responsible game plan with a rookie quarterback.
Yes. Hey, guess what? I got the halftime stats here, as I said. How about this for halftime? 24 runs and 15 passes.
It's like you were calling plays.
Right? Is that beautiful? and a lot of times when they ran up in there, and you know how I feel about DeAndre Swift. I love him as a player in that, but I just think that inside runner, I'm not sold on it. Okay, anyway. But they, you know what they did? If he ran up in there for two or three, they came back and ran again. They didn't give up on it. And that's, to me, an improvement they had.
To me, the moment of the game was the pass play you described where they score a touchdown right before the half. Mm. So they come out, they get a lead. You know, they're trailing. They come back, they take the lead. Then you get another touchdown, and that seemed to really turn the game, right?
100%.
That changed everything, and it made their lives so much easier.
Go back to 2 weeks ago. We get down there right before the half, and we run a speed option and lose yards.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right.
So just think of the mindset of the team, the coaches, the fans, everybody. Comparing the two games, it's
you're right.
So it's it.
Do
it
you
was,
like that identity they've established with this new kind of getting the power game going by having the center blocking on the goal line and short yardage? Do you think that's too gimmicky? Are you surprised at all, Dave,
that I don't think
Terry Blossom game is available but not used?
Yeah, and the only reason that they're not using him, I promise you, because he's a better blocker, there's no question he wouldn't be on the team, is because of the depth and the concern at the offensive line. You know, you always got guys there limping around for some reason. You know, and then Jenkins gets hurt, right? And Nate Davis, who knows? And we got a lot of guys, probably more than we realize, that are right on the edge of coming off injuries or fighting through them.
Right.
And
Darnell Wright has been hurt earlier in the year. You're so right.
So Flus is sitting there saying, hey, guys, we can't get shorthanded on the offensive line. Get one of these guys ready at fullback. It's tough on them, though. Let me just say this. If you're running an ISO play straight ahead downhill, And I use the expression, I use Jim Flanagan all the time, but Jim Flanagan was a defensive lineman who was a heck of an athlete that ran 4.7, 4.8. So, because if you want to do anything outside the tackles, now you're going to have your offensive lineman hit and block a moving target. You know, you're on the edge, and the now here comes, or it's a sweep. Anything that's not between the tackles, it's you got to have a darn good athlete, and that's where your fullbacks, that's where I'd use Cole Kmet. You know, put Mercedes on the line and use Kmet as the fullback. That's where you get caught up. I think you're really limited on what you can do with an offensive lineman as a fullback. Want to run the ISO between the tackles? Go ahead, because that guy's going to be sitting in the hole. You want to run anything on the edge, stretch play, toss play, whatever, it's tough on them. It's real tough.
Dave, we talk about player development in every sport that we cover and talk about. When you look at the Bears and Jervon Dexter, what has he done specifically, or what have they done to help him develop into the kind of player who now is, 5 games in, one of the best, most disruptive defensive tackles in the NFL based on numbers? And you watch the tape, and he is much more visible and noticeable than he was a year ago.
It's all about Flus's scheme and him and Eric Washington, the defense coordinator, what they want to do. If you go back, was he a rookie last year? In the beginning of last year, I was up there and I was sitting talking to Flus, and I said, what is the biggest deal with Dexter? And he said he's having a learning process in our scheme, which is exactly what we did at Dallas. And I told you, it's a combination of what we did at Dallas, what Tony Dungy did at Tampa Bay. By that, I mean you want to be able to get pressure and make a lot of plays with your defensive linemen. We're not just taking up blocks. Maybe that'll describe it better. So we're lining guys up on the shoulder, inside shoulder, outside shoulder, and on the snap of the ball, get your butt going upfield. Okay, get going. Be aggressive. All right. Now, with that being said, he was coming out of a scheme where he wanted to attack the lineman with his hands, and he was kind of hanging on the offensive lineman.
Right,
and Flus was saying, we got to get him to understand, because what happens? If you're playing on the edge and you're coming off the ball and you're getting penetration up the field, you're going to be a better pass rusher because you're moving that direction. And you're going to make more negative plays because you're moving that direction.
Right.
Your linebackers might not make as many plays, but your defensive linemen will. And in this scheme, it's the front four guys are key.
I'm curious.
So he's making more plays because he understands the scheme better and he's playing more aggressive.
He also, you got to give him credit for reshaping his body.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Well, that's why we can play with Chris Zoriches and Jimmy Flanagan. I mean, you know, Russell Maryland. I mean,
Russell Maryland is great.
Aaron Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald. These guys are 265, 270, but they're quick and they get on the edge and they can make plays.
How do you feel they're using their rotation with that? Because it's interesting to me that they have on occasion used Billings as a kind of three technique, and he's been fantastic in everything he's done. But he's more their, if you just look body shape, he's more the kind of
nose guard.
Yes,
You're right. No, we would always you slide the front so the offense could dictate. You'd like to have your little better athlete, a la the Warren Sapps of the world, playing as that three technique. But if they can walk the tight end or they can slide the front, and now you go from a three technique, unless you're going to flip everybody, which we don't like doing, now you just slide. So you got to have guys that can play both is my point. But you're right. So when Billings gets caught there, it's because of a formation or it's because of what they're trying to do from an offensive standpoint.
Quickly, Dave, what do you see when you see Trevor Lawrence and what happens Sunday?
Wow. You know what? This game, I don't know enough about Jacksonville. I can't believe, I guess, the numbers. You know, I mean, if you just told me Jacksonville, I said, wow, this is something with Etienne at running back. He's a blazer, and they've got two or three good receivers, and they got, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, these guys, boy, I picked them to win their division. I picked Jacksonville in the beginning of the year to win that division, and I've been disappointed. They're not playing good. I don't know why, how, or what, but the Bears, in my mind, got the momentum for sure. They got the momentum. They got the confidence right now. And, the real key, and I'll shut up after this, the real key for the Bears, in my mind, you can be a good team and win, go out and play good 1 week and dominate somebody like the Bears did with Carolina, and you're a good team. The great teams that I've been associated with, the championship teams that I've on college and NFL, they do it week after week. They are consistent with their attitude, with their performance, and obviously they get the results they want. So to me, the Bears got to put a couple performances together. I mean, I wouldn't call the Rams by any means a dominant. We could have lost that game. You know, I mean, we won. I'm glad, you know, I mean, I had the Bears big time. But anyway, that's another story. But I was happy. I mean, you know, that was.
So the Bears are favored by 2.5, and the total is, I believe, 44.5.
Wow.
You staying off that one?
I am. I don't. And it's overseas. You don't know over there. Yeah. Guys, the food. Guys, someone gets sick. You know, the practice. I mean, a lot of variables for both teams. For both teams when you go overseas. I'm staying off of it. I mean, I think the Bears will win, but as of now, I'm staying off of it.
That's interesting. All right,
more,
Coach.
Yeah, a little more modest.
Well, I'm just being honest with you.
No, I appreciate that.
I haven't lost this year with all my picks.
You're undefeated.
Yeah. Well, if you don't make any, it's a good way to win.
No, I mean, last week I had Rutgers in the points. I was big. You know my big one last week? I was all over Washington. Over
really?
Michigan.
That's pretty good. Call.
Washington's got a nice team, guys.
You and Pitt undefeated.
I'm on Pitt every week. Thank you.
How did you feel about Army?
I didn't see what
Army won.
Oh, did they? Okay.
And Mully mentioned the Bulldog special. I believe they won by 42.
Oh,
just saying.
How many points? What were you giving up?
I think it wasn't a lot.
30? No?
No, okay. No. It was, they cut.
The college game of the week, guys, is Ohio State goes to Oregon. That because in the preseason they were the two preseason picks to battle it out for the Big Ten championship, right? So
2 and 3.
They're going to deflate that giant duck.
Is that what they are?
It was in the Indian River.
I think it's number 2 versus number 3.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a great matchup.
All right. Thanks so much, Dave.